than the word of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, he said, go into all the nations, preach, you know, preaching, teaching them. He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And he goes on to say, teaching them to observe all things. Whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Our Savior that we serve did not leave us alone. We have got a great message, do we not? You know, praise God. I wasn't even going to preach on that this morning, but I was looking down here and listening to the song and listening and looking at the communion here this morning. Brothers and sisters, I am just tickled to death. Can I say that? To tell you this morning that we have such a great message to give people. We can let them know that Jesus Christ still saves. He's still putting homes back together. He's still in the healing business. Praise God, the God that we serve is not dead. He's not. I don't tell you the truth. I don't serve a dead God this morning. I don't serve nothing like that. I believe He's alive. I believe He's still where He said He went when He went to sit on the right hand of God. He's still making intercession for me and you. And praise God this morning. I am just tickled to death for that, Ryan. You know that? You know what? We've got a revival scheduled in beginning there the week of January the 20th. And I want you to be much in prayer for it because I believe it can start right now. I believe it can. I can believe it can start in this church and it can spread through that week and go on out into the community. I believe that. If I didn't, I wouldn't even have revival if I didn't believe that. There's no sense even coming up here and preaching if I didn't believe that. Praise the Lord this morning. I tell you, I'm going to be over in Psalms 139. And you know, I want to ask you something. Do you believe that you are fearfully and wonderfully made here this morning? Do you believe that this morning? I want to tell you something. I believe that you are. I don't care what you sitting back here and thinking of yourself or think of anybody else. I believe God says that to the psalmist David. I believe that he said, that David said, that he's fearfully and wonderfully made. And that's what you are this morning. But I'm going to come down through Psalms 139 and something that Greg had mentioned here a couple of different times here recently got me started on this. You know, about God being omnipresent and God being omniscient and God being knowing all. He had said that here recently. And you know what? It got me to thinking. You know what? I believe God is. I believe God is all those things. And I got to looking into it. You know, we live in a day and age when knowledge is exploding, folks. We live in that kind of in a survey taken back in 2005. You know what it amounted to? It said that knowledge doubles every 18 months. The way that we are now. Back years ago, they started keeping track of this stuff back in 1960. It was every 2 years. It has jumped up to where every year and a half, the knowledge of humankind jumped beyond measure. And they said by the time this was taken in 2005, by the time that our time has come right now, that would be just minuscule to what the knowledge is that mankind has today. And I want you to know, and now get this, I want you to understand this morning, that they have a bunch of information on us. Do you understand that? Oh yeah, they do. Organizations and marketing directors, they take all this information, they put it into a big pile, and they know just exactly what Greg and Michelle buy. They know just exactly what they watch on television. They know just exactly how much electricity they use, how much gas you use, whether you use it or not. And I'm just picking them out. I know there's everybody else in here, you could raise your hands, and it's the same way. You know why? Because whenever you go to buy anything, whether you use a debit card, a credit card, whatever it may be, whenever you watch anything on television, all this information is being gathered. And brothers, it's used. It's used for us. They combine all this stuff. They know what you do. They know. And you know, you think that's scary? I think it's kind of scary sometimes. I just throw that out there. That's not the point of my message this morning. Products you buy, your household demographics, whatever's there, key attitudes about your house, they know all of it. Scary. I think it's scary. The people know that much about us, know that much about you. And I'll tell you what, just like I told you a little bit ago, if the Lord lets this go on, the more we go, the more knowledge they will have about you. And it's all part of the grand scheme that's coming down the road, and we know it, and I'll get into it today. But you know what? There's going to come a time whenever the Christians are going to be out of this world, He's going to come and take His church, and there's going to be a way that they can control population. I know what it is. There's no doubt we are living in an age of exploding knowledge and change, and not all of it's good. listed over in Romans 1:22, professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. In Romans 1:28, it tells us, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate minds to do those things which were not convenient. So you know what? The knowledge, some of this knowledge is good. I understand that. But there's some of it that's being used for bad, and that's what's going to happen. But with all this knowledge and all the leaps and bounds that they have, everything that they have, knowledge that has been taken for about you and me, it doesn't even hold a candle to the God we serve and the knowledge He has about us. Do you really understand that this morning? Do we really even comprehend that? It doesn't even hold a candle to the omnipotent God that we serve and how that He knows everything about us. He knows everything about us, and I can prove it in God's Word. And we will go into and turn to Psalms 139. If you're not there, we're going to read the first 6 verses. And I want to tell you something this morning. I have never done this before, but this is going to be a 2-part sermon. I'm going to do part of it this morning, and Lord willing, I want to do part of it this evening. Usually I don't do it that way, but I thought this was so important that we know that the God that we serve knows so much about us and that He loves us so much in doing so. You know what? That's why we're fearfully, wonderfully made this morning. That's why it is. But let's turn to Psalms. We'll read the first 6 verses of 139. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsettings, mine uprisings. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path, my laying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Listen to that. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid Thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Praise God for it. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, I come with thanksgiving in my heart. Lord, I want to praise You for the opportunity we have to stand behind this desk. And Lord, I thank You for your love, for Your kindness that You bestowed upon each and every one of us. I thank You for the church that I have to go before, Lord, to preach, Lord. I thank You for my congregation, my family. I thank You for all these things, Lord. But Father, most of all, I thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. I thank You for the One who died to make all this possible. Lord, I thank You, Father, for just loving me enough and seeing enough in me, Lord, to send Your Son to die upon a cross that we could have this salvation that we so richly take part of today. And Jesus, we will give You the praise and the glory for it all. Thank You, Jesus. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, David is talking about God, an all-powerful, an all-present God, an infinitely holy God. He's talking the first 6 verses about God's omnipotence. That's what it's talking about. He knows everything about you and I. He knows you. He knows us completely. He knows us thoroughly. And He knows us intimately this morning. That's how God... We are not some number. You know, the world treats us as a number, right? You know, you just try to do something without your social security number and tell me how far you get with that. I'm telling you, the world knows us as a number. You know, but God knows us as an individual. He knows every one of us as individuals. My wife can tell you there's another Dave Long or it's another Howard Long in Huntington, West Virginia. And whenever we lived on 9th Avenue in Parkersburg, lo and behold, he lived on 9th Avenue in Huntington. So I got to know him every once in a while because things got messed up. That's how it was. They would mess us up. But you know what? And also, her dad is Edward F. McDonald, and there's another Edward F. McDonald that lives up in Vienna, West Virginia. And they get this stuff mixed up around here all the time with that kind of thing. So you know what? Without our social security numbers to keep things straight sometimes, they would not know when we are from the other. But I want to tell you something this morning. God does not need to know any number about you to know who you are this morning. He knows you just exactly. He knows that Dave Long down there is the same as He knows this one. He knows that Edward McDonald up in Vienna is the same as He knows her dad. He knows you today just the same as He does every other individual in this world that we live in today. That's the kind of God we serve. You know what? And whenever it tells us in Matthew 10:29-31, are not 2 sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than sparrows. I mean, whenever I read that scripture, and I read it, and I really let it soak in, it shows me just how much God cares for His creation, does it not? He knows these little birds, just like He knows us. And how much more important is it, if He knows them, than He knows you this morning? If He knows you that intimately this morning, you should be shouting and praising the house of God down this morning. He knows us that well. Over in 1 Peter 5, it says, casting all your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. Raise your hand. You're you. That's who He's talking about. You're the one this morning. I don't care if you're how you're sitting here today, what it may be. You're the one. Praise God. He knows you. Oh, Lord. And it says, oh, Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. That's what the, oh, Lord, and that's what the first verse of 139 says. Search means to dig. In the original Greek, in the original Hebrew, what He was talking about was like somebody going out and digging for precious gold or for precious stones. And what He said was, they would leave no stone unturned, trying to find what they were digging for, what they were trying to look for. David said that in this way. He said God knew him so intimately that He left no stone unturned to find out what about him and to know about how we work and how we tick. And I praise God this morning that He knows us that way, Okie. I'm thankful for God that He does. God left no stone unturned to know you and me this morning. He knows us. He knows us from the very bottom of our heels, of our feet, to the top of our head. He knows everything about it. David is saying how God searches us and searches thoroughly and knows us thoroughly. That's what he's saying. Verses 2 and 3 tells us, David is saying God knows when we sit down and when we stand up. Now, you may think that's kind of just funny, right? God doesn't care if we stand. God knows when you stand up and when you sit down, He knows everything about you. And He knows everything about you, everybody in this room at the same time. God knows every thought. He said He knows every thought that I'm thinking, no matter where I'm at or what I'm doing. This not only refers to what I'm thinking, but why we think it. He knows our aims. He knows our intents and our thoughts. He knows our motives, what we think and how we think. God knows all about us when it comes down to that. But yet, He still says that we're fearfully and wonderfully made. I tell you what, that makes me ashamed sometimes to think, because the thoughts that go through our minds sometimes, and we try to get them out of there, and we try to keep them out of there, but God knows them all, does He not? God discerns my comings and my goings. You know, whenever you look at the original Greek in that, it's talking about how that whenever they were saying that what they did was, it was like whenever they were taking the wheat and separating the stalk from the little seed of wheat, what they would do, they'd throw it into the air, and they said the seed would fall and the chaff would just go off to the side. You know how the story of that goes. That's what David said. He discerned us so much. He got rid of all the clutter. He got rid of all the static that's in our lives that we sometimes put around it, and God knows just exactly how we are. You're not fooling nobody. You're not fooling God. You may fool us people in the church here. You may fool your family. But you know what? God knows just exactly where you stand in this. You may have this persona about you, whatever this persona you may be holding up may be, but you know what? God sees through it. He knows just exactly what you're about. He knows God is familiar with all your ways. He knows that. He knows every detail of your life, no matter how big or how minute it may seem to you. God knows everything. And David tells us that. You know what? I heard this story here a while back about a farmer. And this farmer had a little patch of corn. And he said that the corn didn't do very good. So, but anyway, beside of him was his neighbor, which had a huge cornfield. And that cornfield did very good. And he said that the one man that did his corn didn't very good, so he was going to go borrow some corn off of his neighbor. So he took a sack, and he took his boy with him, and he went over to get into this field of corn. And as he started to walk into the corn, he said he looked left, he looked right, he looked all the way around to see if anybody was watching him going in and borrow this corn. And he said his boy, he looked at him and said, "Dad, you never looked up." Right, God knows everything about us, folks. He knows us. He knows what you're doing. He knows it. We may think that we're hiding from Him. He may think that we're doing stuff and getting away with it. But God knows. And do we all understand that one of these days we will give an account for everything that we do and say? Amen? How many of you wish that you've never said something? How many of you in here wish that there's things in your life that you wish you would have never said whenever you said them, right? How could I have said that? I've had that time in my life. You know, He knows when you're going to scream at your kids, for whatever reason it may be. He also knows you're selfish and insensitive words you're going to say to your spouse. He knows all this stuff. Why? And he said that this rolled off your lips. He knows the sarcasm, the sarcastic words that people say. All the loving and kind words, He knows them also. But I want to tell you something, verse 5, that He knew those words that you were going to speak before you even said them. Do you understand that? I thought that was so amazing whenever He said, "For there is not a word," verse 4, "in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether." Have you ever said right on the tip of my tongue? Have any of you ever said that? It's just right on the tip of my tongue. You know there's stuff there that you'd like to say, but it's just right on the tip. You just ain't going to get it out. You know why? Because God knows those words before you were even going to say them. I believe He does it. I believe He knows them. I believe He does. And verse 5 tells us, "And He knows what we need. Thou hast beset me." What He's talking about, He has hemmed us in. He knows exactly what we need in our lives. You know, whenever the Bible says we pray, and I think we should pray, because I believe we should pray and ask God for what we want in our life, but He knows what we need before we even ask. He does that. Whenever it says He beset, it says He hemmed it in. Whenever you hem something, what do you do when you hem something in? You take the outer part of it and you hem around it, right? God has hemmed us in. Amen? He has done that. That's what David is saying. He knows us so much that He has hemmed us in. And He knows He has laid thine hand upon me. And he said, you know what they did back in the Old Testament? What they were talking about when they laid their hands upon them? Whenever somebody laid their hand upon you, it meant that they give them your blessings. That meant that you were blessed and that you were a friend, that I was going to take care of you whenever somebody laid their hand on. And that's what David is saying. God knew him so much. He said God had laid His hand upon him. And I want you to understand something this morning. God lays His hand upon His children here today also. I believe He still does. When He said that, God's saying, "I'm here, I know what you need, and I'm going to help you." Isn't that a tremendous thought? Isn't that something that it makes me just swell up inside whenever I know that the God that I serve, He's on our side. He's on my side. He's on your side. He knows that. He encourages us. The closest thing that I can think of is a mother. And we can think of a mother whenever her child is hurting. And you know, a mother will try to go to that child, and she'll try to put her hand on it sometime and try to encourage that child, right? To try to find out what's going on. It's either for correction, or she can do it for love, to try to lift them up and ask them what's going on. And pray God, that's the closest thing that we can come. And I want to tell you, it probably doesn't even compare to what God's love is for us. It probably doesn't even compare to that. But you know what? It's exactly the thing that God does the same for you and I, folks. He does that. David tells us in verse 6, in our words, that in verse 6, whenever he says it there, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain to it." Can I say it in my own words? God blows my mind. Can I say that? That's what David's trying to say in his way back then. I'll put it in my words. God blows my mind with what He knows about us, with what He does for us. And you know what? It just makes me so blessed to think that the God that we serve, that the God that we serve has such knowledge that, you know what, I can't even comprehend what He can do for us. It's more than our minds can grasp. Paul said the same thing in Romans 11, 33 and 36 when he said this. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been His counselor? Who has first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Amen. Whatever Paul said, "Oh, the depths and riches of His wisdom." He knows so much stuff that we cannot even comprehend it in our own little minds. God knows us. He knows every thought before we think it. He knows that. I believe that in my heart. I believe He knows every thought before we think it. Yes, yes, you know, He knows every emotion that we have or we're going to have. He knows so much about us. You know what? That can be intimidating if you let it be intimidating to us. You know what? It can be. But I want to tell you something. I also think it can be comforting also. Have you ever been misunderstood by people? I'll tell you what, I've been misunderstood. I've been misunderstood, but you know, praise God. God knows everything about us. God knows the intents of our heart. He knows just exactly what we're doing, what we're saying it for. He knows us. So let the world think what they may. God knows what we're about. I believe that can be comforting, don't you? You know, have you ever been misjudged or misrepresented? Have you ever thought, in your effort to please people, have you ever thought that? And you know what? It doesn't seem no matter what you do, you can please anybody. Man, you know your intent, your heart was right. God knows that. He knows it. He also knows, and I want to tell you something this morning. I'm going to close on this, and like I said, I want to finish the rest of this tonight. He knows where you stand with Him today, right today. He knows exactly if you are saved here this morning. He knows exactly if you are where you should be with Him today. He knows all that. I think about this, you know, I think about this much. You know, I've noted people down through their life, they would not tell their family stuff because they didn't want them to know it. They keep stuff from them. And you know what? They were successful. They were successful doing it for a long time. You're not going to be successful doing that to God. God knows right now. He knows. He knows you. He knows where you stand. He knows if you're saved. He knows if you're lost. He knows if you're starting to fall back. He knows all that. I'll tell you what. Let's give the God the opportunity that knows everything. Let's give Him the opportunity. Give Him the opportunity to know you more fully today. Give Him that opportunity, if you would, please. They come and get a song.